Kramer. That's right, Rip, you're Kramer. The American Apple Pie Institution, no matter for apples as present, will lend me the video window of sarcasm from the letters you might actually make you think, and will also insult your intelligence at the same time. So, protect your family. This album will contain explicit depictions of things which are real. The real things are commonly known as life. So, if it sounds sarcastic, don't take it seriously. If it sounds dangerous, do not fight it. Go for it all. And if it offends you, just don't give it.
All right. Thanks for coming, everybody. I know most of you normally would have gone to bed 2 hours ago. But it's good to see some people up before 5 p.m. I'm Laszlo. I'll be doing some kind of MC action this weekend. I do have a couple of announcements. The lockpicking workshop is from 2 to 5 p.m. today in Area 8. I don't know if any of you have been to some of the European conferences, hacker conferences, but the lockpicking workshop will disturb you when you see how fast people can bust into your home. And also there's a book signing from Singer's Publishing. Kevin Mitnick is going to be doing a book signing for Stealing the Network. That's back there in this room at 1 p.m. But they're already selling the books right now in Pinetop North. And the word on the street is you may want to buy your book before 1 p.m., but you can get it at 1. However, it's selling like hotcakes. But make sure you save some money for those Fine Hope t-shirts. And let's get on to Robert Steele. If you've been to some of the past hacker conferences, you can't get him off the stage, and people don't want him off the stage because he has all sorts of interesting stories about darting dogs and things like that. But Robert's going to be discussing hacking national intelligence. Tomorrow he's going for the 4-hour marathon tomorrow evening, so there's definitely going to be an opportunity to pick his brain. But without further ado, Robert Steele.
Well, I do own a watch, and I'm very disciplined, and they have stolen 10 minutes of my time, but that's okay. What I'm actually doing, and I congratulate all of you for being awake, what I'm actually going to do now, as agreed with my dear friend Emmanuel, is I'm going to give you a real speech, a real structured speech about power to the people through public intelligence. And then tomorrow night, for 4 hours, beginning at 10 o'clock, I will do a 30-minute brief on with slides, really nice slides, on 9/11, U.S. intelligence in the real world, and we'll talk about cool things like the 18 genocides that are going on right now, and Las Vegas running out of water in about 3 years, stuff like that. And then I'll have a little speech on, or a little slideshow on the failure of 20th century intelligence, which will basically dissect national intelligence and tell you why we screwed up so badly. Not just on bin Laden, but on a whole range of things, including what kind of moron would run up a $7 trillion deficit. So, I do want to make an announcement now in case some of you are going to miss me tomorrow. I run an international conference, and I usually give 10 scholarships to academics, 10 scholarships to journalists, 10 scholarships to NGOs. This year I'm adding 10 scholarships for hackers. And Emmanuel, Rop, and Andy, and Render are the first 4, and then the rest of you can ask for the other 6. And so if you're interested, look up, go to OSS.net, check out the conference, decide if you want to come free. It's a $900 ticket. All right. I'm a former spy, a recovering spy, as it were. I spent 3 clandestine tours overseas. I spent 3 tours in Washington doing clandestine things. Programming overhead satellites, I've helped steal signal codebooks. Let me ask, how many of you are new to this conference? How many of you have not heard me before? Holy shit. Well, the real hackers are still asleep. No, I'm sorry. No disrespect intended. All right, then I will spend a couple minutes on the bio because I want you to know where it came from because it's relevant. I am not Jane Fonda on steroids. I'm a moderate Republican who thinks his party's been hijacked. I think this country's going down the drain. in a lot of ways, and you're part of the solution. The media is part of the problem. So I grew up as the son of an oil man, and unlike most Americans, I spent 10 years in Asia, 10 years in Latin America as a kid, walking the streets. And the way you walk New York City, I walked Singapore and Bangkok and Saigon. I was just 12 years old. I was trading cigarettes for bullets, going through 10 coups d'etats in the 63-64 time frame. Came back to university in Pennsylvania, got my first master's degree thesis in predicting revolution. Decided that I had become overly intellectual, so I joined the United States Marine Corps, which had the desired effect. It balanced me out. I learned the F word. And I loved it. I mean, you know, being a Marine Corps infantry officer is a privilege. Being a Marine is a privilege. But I found that very boring, so I joined the clandestine service. They sent me immediately overseas. I can't tell you where I served, but Alvin Toffler thinks it was in El Salvador, Venezuela, and Panama, with side trips to Central American countries. He wrote a chapter about me called The Future of the Spy and War and Anti-War. Throughout that period, as I was a spy, as I was doing these things, I thought I was a god. I mean, I thought I was a Jesuit one step from holiness, and just doing God's work. And it wasn't until I was given an opportunity late in my career to stand up the Marine Corps Intelligence Center that I discovered it's all bullshit. We're spending $30 to $70 billion. We're spending between $30 to $70 billion. I take $50 billion as my average for secrets. We're spending almost nothing on open sources of information in 29 plus languages, including the 2,000 dialects of Arabic. So that, I stood up the Marine Corps Intelligence Center, it shocked me into action. I discovered that 80% of what we need to know to protect America is not secret, not in English, not online, and not known to anybody in Washington. And when I say 80%, I'm being generous. So what I have for you today, and if you choose to sleep through it, you can download it from my website. At www.oss.net, I have what I call three portal pages. There's a global war on terrorism portal page at the top, which I just opened today. There is a collective intelligence portal page, and there is an open source intelligence portal page. Collective intelligence, if you Google on collective intelligence in quotes, you'll get to a very fine collective intelligence blog. There are about 8 collective intelligence movements out there. These are people that, other than Tom Attlee, had never heard of me, but Tom came to his ideas well before I ever met him. But the fact is, the wisdom of the crowd, the common sense of the public, public intelligence, collective intelligence, using the internet and meetup.com to organize structured intelligence so that you can then confront authorities with the facts, this is all happening. And so I'm one small part of this larger movement. So let's imagine, with all that we know now about the mistakes we've made in Afghanistan, and oh, by the way, Route 9 in Haiti that we invaded 10 years ago, still hasn't been built, okay? The United States goes into a country, trashes it, backs out, and doesn't do anything to help it. Most of what we're doing in the way of foreign aid and foreign policy, and I'll discuss this tonight, is just plain-ass stupid and deceptive. It's a placebo. So imagine an America in which public intelligence supersedes secret intelligence. An elitist corruption is displaced by an informed democracy in which consensus conferences at every level, down to the neighborhood, assure that we, the people, are actually served. Let me begin by telling you what $100 million can buy, depending on who's making the decision. If you're part of the military-industrial complex and you're making the decision, you're going to spend that $100 million on a Navy ship of war that will enrich contractors, or you can spend it on an Army brigade with all of its tanks and artilleries that will enrich contractors, or you might, if you're somewhat enlightened, spend it on 1,000 diplomats or 10,000 Peace Corps workers, or if you're truly enlightened, you might spend it on a water desalination plant for the Middle East that will desalinate 100 million cubic meters of water a year. Or if you're just completely stupid, you won't do anything and then you'll spend it for one day of war in the Middle East. That's what $100 million can buy. And the third book that I'm working on, I guess you've got a bio someplace. I at the end of my career, I wrote On Intelligence, Spies, and Secrecy in an Open World with a foreword from Senator Warren, who was the past chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And then I wrote The New Craft of Intelligence, Personal, Public, and Political. They're only available at Amazon or by the box for me. But that has a foreword by Senator Roberts, who is the chairman of the current Senate Select Committee for Intelligence. This should be a clue. Two U.S. senators, both chairmen of the Senate Select Committee of Intelligence, have written forewords to my first two books. And I'm asking Senator Warner to write a foreword to my third book. I am not a renegade professional. I am a tough-love professional who's sick and tired of having our throat cut by corrupt politics. And so this is about tough love and fixing intelligence that will serve America. But we have in this country a completely screwed up copyright, patent, and secrecy system. In fact, patents and copyrights need to be cleaned up because a lot of them are being used to keep knowledge out of the public domain. For example, portable solar technologies. I think we're going to see solar power driving neighborhoods. I was in the month that Cheney was meeting in secret with the 6,000 in the White House, Wired magazine had a wonderful cover story on a new two-way energy grid and a new paradigm where neighborhoods and cars give back to the system. That kind of thinking is not taking place at the White House because they, and I have to say this is not just an extremist Republican problem, it's also a Democratic problem. The two political parties are broken. And I just picked up a book yesterday at Penn Station by the chairman of the Council on Formulation that says that we're running on empty and that both the Democratic and the Republican parties are dead in the water. So where does this all go? I had my epiphany, a very expensive Republican word for the more inexpensive Democratic word, aha. Okay, I had my epiphany, aha experience. Not when I stood up at the Marine Corps Intelligence Center and realized that 80% of what we needed to know was not secret, not in English, not online, and not known anywhere in Washington, but when I realized that it was known to you. You have the power to get better intelligence on any issue within 24 to 72 hours than is available to the appointed President of the United States. Okay? But you haven't learned how to apply the proven process of intelligence, and you haven't learned how to structure all of that so that you can, in fact, be effective. Let me tell you that I think Thomas Jefferson had it right when he said that educated citizens are the essence of national security. A nation's, his exact words were, a nation's best defense is an educated citizenry. Okay? Everything that we're doing on counterterrorism, all of this Tom Ridge bullshit, it's not making you safer. Between Tom Ridge screwing up in the United States and George Bush screwing up overseas, we are much more threatened today than we were prior to immediately after 9/11. George Bush is a recruiting poster for Bin Laden. Yeah. In fact, there are, I'm serious now, if you go through my website, there are open source intelligence reports. And I'll tell you, my preferred candidacy is actually George Bush and John McCain. Bush will go nuts in January through March of 2005, drop out, and McCain will be president. There are already reports that Bush is acting very erratically. So I think we have some interesting dynamics. John Kerry does not impress me, John Edwards does. Open source intelligence is the wedge in three different national revolutions. It's the wedge for intelligence reform. Because if you get open source intelligence right at just 5% of what we spend now on secret intelligence, if you get open source intelligence right, you force the spies and the satellites to be honest. Because they're not right now. I was a very successful case officer, and of the many, many, many people that I recruited by throwing money up in the air and seeing who caught it, maybe four were worthwhile. And unfortunately, in this day and age, central intelligence is an oxymoron. In the age of distributed information, central intelligence is an oxymoron. You have to build a system that is distributed, and just enough, just in time, just right, come as you are, plug and play, all of that good networking stuff. We have an industrial era intelligence system that has bureaucratic mindsets, and I have to say, everyone working for the intelligence community is a good-hearted, well-meaning person who is stuck in a system they can't change. That's why it has to be hit with a 2x4 from outside. But I can increase for between $1.5 billion and $3 billion, I can increase by a factor of no less than 100, and more likely a factor of 1,000 times what America knows about the rest of the world that it needs to know. And I'm not just talking military threats, I'm talking water, energy, disease, crime, trade in women and children, all of these things. We're simply not serious about understanding the rest of the world. I've got a number of lists at Amazon.com, including one on blowback, dissent, and why people hate America. And if you go through those lists, what you will see is that people don't hate America because it's a source of light and goodness and all this nonsense. They distrust America because America is ignorant. America is flat out stupid about the rest of the world. And I include the White House and Congress, and I specifically include the chairman and members of the Foreign Relations Committee. They're like placeholders going through the motions. They're not serious about getting out and alerting America to the fact that we are living in an aquarium. And we have been shitting into that aquarium, and on 9/11 the shit reached our nose. Okay? That's the bottom line. There's a whole literature on hamburger virus and corrupt capitalism, immoral capitalism, things like this. So number one, OSINT is a wedge in the intelligence revolution. OSINT is also a wedge in the defense acquisition revolution. One of the slides that I'll give you tomorrow night crosswalks the real-world threat, which consists of mostly sub-state, non-state threats, terrorism, crime, water, all this, against the Pentagon's budget. Guess what? Less than 10% of the taxpayer dollar that is being spent on military equipment, training, organization, less than 10% of that dollar is relevant to the threats that we're facing today. The other 90% is a way of transferring wealth from your pocket to a corporation. Okay? And I mean, I shudder when I think of how communist that sounds, that criticism. But it is a reality. Corporate taxes have gone down from 32% of federal revenue to less than 6%. Halliburton paid less than $15 million in taxes a couple of years ago on its billions and billions and billions of dollars of reported earnings. A very simple fix is they have to pay taxes on what they tell their stockholders they made last year. Okay? We're being screwed. We are being screwed. And that's something that we all have to change in the aggregate. OSINT is also a wedge in a third reform, which is governance reform, how we govern ourselves. The industrial era of government, including, which we still have today, the industrial era of schooling, believes that the people are stupid and that only a small select elite can know what they need to know. That's no longer the case. I am very impressed by Tom Attlee's Co-Intelligence Institute, these other collective intelligence things. Tom talks about a Danish conferencing system. When the Danish people have a really, really important issue, say 9/11 or whatever, they don't appoint Bob Carey and these other experts. They go out and they appoint 12 citizens. And the only qualification of those 12 citizens for being the Supreme Court for this decision is that they must know nothing about it. And then with this Danish conferencing system, as Tom Attlee has explained it, you really got to buy his book, The Tao of Democracy, Creating a World that Works for All of Us Through Co-Intelligence, I think is the subtitle. It's in paperback on Amazon. Tremendous book. And Bill Moyer's Doing Democracy is another good one. But these people grill the experts, only the experts aren't allowed to just testify and leave. They actually have to answer questions. And so these 12 citizens, the common sense of the crowd, the common sense of the citizenry, are applied, and at the end of it, their decision is final. And so when Denmark was dealing with like genetically altered foods, they had such a council. So we can recapture the power of the people at every level. But we can't do it just by organizing, just by demonstrating, just by demanding. We have to do it with intelligence. And so I've created meetup.com, is I think a wonderful thing. I think the Democratic Party will rue the day when they torpedoed Howard Dean. But meetup.com has accepted an OSINT, International Meetup Day. And so if you go to www.osint.meetup.com, or just go to meetup.com and look up OSINT, You can meet anywhere in the world on the second or the first Tuesday, first Wednesday of every month at 6 in the evening. And just like all other meetup things, like for open source software and whatever, you can actually start pulling together. And so a neighborhood can say, or a county can say, we're going to have an OSINT meetup, and we're going to structure ourselves to create a little citizens intelligence agency to follow every one of these issues that's important to us. And we're going to have a website, and we're going to publish intelligence estimates on these issues. And we're going to make sure that on any issue where the government says it's this, we can say yes it is or no it's not. But it has to be an informed decision. Now the key here is that using Meetup, you can organize at any level, in any location, anywhere in the world. So there are three, basically. I'm now going to skip, this by the way is the short version of the speech, I'm now going to skip over the lessons, the way I beat the crap out of the intelligence community in the Burundi exercise with 6 phone calls. In fact, I was on my way to DEF CON to speak. I want to just give you the definition of OSINT, talk about the 7 tribes, and then we can do some questions and answers. And again, this is downloadable as an RTF document. I no longer post docs at OSS.net, so you can get the whole thing and read it at your leisure. Open source intelligence combines the proven process of intelligence, which is requirements definition. The biggest mistake most people make today when they're using business intelligence or they're doing academic research or they're doing an investigative journalism study is they forget to stop and ask, what's the question? Because if you ask the wrong question, I guarantee you're going to get the wrong answer to what you really want to know. So requirements definition, then collection management. Know who knows. It is appalling to me that we have very senior people in Washington today that don't know what citation analysis is. Citation analysis uses the Social Science Citation Index, the Science Citation Index, to identify who the top 100 people in the world are in anything. And so when I needed a top guy in the Zeeman effect, which is detecting underground facilities by looking for electromagnetic variations in the Earth's surface, I did a citation analysis. I found the chairman of the Department of Astronomy at the University of Illinois in Urbana was the top guy in the world. I called him up. I said, I want to send you a check for $2,000. I want a 10-page paper in 4 days that tells me where this is at and where we should spend the next $10 million. And he did. And Booz Allen would have charged $250,000 to $500,000 for that. And oh, by the way, I don't charge extra for doing it overnight. This is open source intelligence. You have to know who knows. You have to know how to leverage that. And oh, by the way, if you're stupid enough to insist that everybody be a U.S. citizen eligible for SITK clearances, you're going to continue to be stupid. Okay? Because most of what we need to know is known by people who are not U.S. citizens and would never in a million years want to put up with the bullshit that we require for clearances. And then finally, you have to know how to mix it all, how to integrate software, present it, and then so forth. So moving forward to kind of the conclusion of the short version. When I had my catastrophic failure at the Marine Corps Intelligence Center, I paid Mitre $10 million for an SITKI system that turned out to be worthless because there was nothing in that system worth knowing. I went out looking for signs of intelligence outside the U.S. government. And I very quickly found a business intelligence world, www.skip.org, Society of Competitive Intelligence Professionals. I found a handful of law enforcement intelligence analysts, ILEA.org. I found out that Benai Brith is following Arabs in select neighborhoods near you. Opus Dei is penetrating the government for its own purposes. The Mormons have already snatched FBI and CIA. And so I discovered, holy cow, national intelligence is not just about spies and secrets at the federal level. There are actually 7 intelligence tribes. And I have brought with me pins for each of those tribes. I hope I have enough for you. We'll have to think about how to distribute them. But these are the 7 tribes. The national intelligence tribe, the spies, satellite signals, imagery, public technical intelligence specialists, and the all-source analysts that serve the government at the federal level. Their color is red. So they have a golden candle pin with a red circle. The military, and by the way, they are, I've graded these in my second book, they are at the 50% level in terms of competency. All right, and that 50% drops to 10% when you add neoconservatives as the customer. All right, I mean, I believe in the Republican Party. I also believe in certain aspects of the Democratic Party. But I, other than in Hitler's time, I have never seen a government hijacked by six people. This is really scary stuff. And it's because they have a sock puppet in charge. This is not good. Am I being disrespectful? They have a military intelligence tribe. They're pretty good at targeting. They're pretty good at knocking the shit out of something that won't move for 24 hours. But if it moves, or if it's smaller than, say, a Jeep, then they have a real problem with it. We had to invade Panama, even though we already had 12,000 troops there, and tanks and airplanes and air bases and one of the largest CIA stations in Latin America. We had to invade Panama to get Manuel Noriega. We had to invade Iraq to get Saddam Hussein. And even then, don't let them bullshit you, it was not national intelligence that found Saddam Hussein. It was military reservists doing I-2 link analysis from interrogations on the fly, moving with the troops forward, that nailed down exactly where he was. And then when his guards fled, that was like a red flag. And so then they really scrutinized this, okay? So that was actually very cool stuff. So you have military intelligence, which I give a 40% grade. You have law enforcement intelligence. The Queen of England just gave an order of the British Empire to Detective Constable Steve Edwards of Scotland Yard for creating the Scotland Yard OSINT branch. The King of Sweden has previously given an award to my partner, Hans Majors, but this is the first order of the British Empire for OSINT. OSINT is putting people in jail. For example, it used to cost £3,000 to run a surveillance team to nail someone down. Now they use credit card checks. And that's kind of gray OSINT, because you're not supposed to be able to have access as a citizen. But my point is that open source intelligence and law enforcement is now leading to preventive policing. And if we were more aggressive about counterintelligence on the people coming into the United States before they ever got on an airplane, if we were more aggressive about counterintelligence on the people that Halliburton and others are hiring to serve us food in our kitchens, some of whom I believe are bin Laden sympathizers. Basically, the fastest way to penetrate a U.S. base overseas is to get hired by Halliburton as a $2 a day kitchen worker. Okay? Halliburton is not doing background checks on you. All right? This is just plain ass stupid. And then business intelligence. Business intelligence is in the basement. The oil companies, the pharmaceuticals do pretty well, but most people, small businesses, middle managers, think they know everything they need to know, and they're not as healthy as they should be. Academic intelligence. There are some centers of excellence. By and large, it's in the basement. The New York Times did a really great story about a year ago on how foreign studies in the United States is dying. Because in the 1970s, we got into something called comparative politics. Comparative politics is code for being able to write bullshit articles from your air-conditioned cubicle without ever having to learn a foreign language or go overseas. That's comparative politics. It means statistics. It means, you know, just, it's amazing. I used to go to ISI, the International Studies Association, to recruit. I gave up. We were talking 15,000 bullshit papers that have absolutely nothing to contribute to the real world. But academic intelligence does have some tremendous opportunities. A guy named Bert Little at the University of Texas has virtually eliminated crop insurance fraud in the United States through data mining, and identifying the seven agents and 27 landowners that were basically anomalous. These two other guys, Pat and Zach, I can't pronounce their names, have identified $50 billion a year in import-export tax fraud. This is $20 rocket engines going overseas and $3,000 toothbrushes coming in. Okay, and oh, by the way, they've also identified all of the one-pound cans of coffee that weigh 1.5 pounds. Because you can actually do this with commercial open source information. So there's some opportunities there. Six, we have the Ground Truth Tribe, which consists of the United Nations, the NGOs, the non-governmental organizations, and journalists. I don't like most journalists. Most journalists are lazy, uninformed people who have editors and owners that are corrupt. And that certainly includes the mainstream media and the television channels, that all of whom turned down fully funded anti-war infomercials during the period when we were going up to Iraq. The people were not allowed to hear from people who didn't agree with the administration and yet had information. In fact, General Tony Zinni, one of the finest generals in the United States Marine Corps, CENTCOM commander, you may remember, was accused by the White House of treason because he wouldn't agree with the party line. So this tribe I've split in two. The UN gets a, by the way, police are black, military is olive drab, business is, has a gray circle, academic has gold collar, ground truth is split between UN blue and the orange for watch out. And seventh and finally, we have what I think of as you guys, although if you qualify for any of these other tribes, I hope you'll take another pin because I'm short on the number of pins that I have for citizens. But the citizen intelligence tribe is where I put labor unions, civil societies, individual Lone Ranger citizens, and religions. All of these tribes are going to have to come together to devise seven standards by which to create a new collective intelligence network. We need data capture standards so that when data is captured by anybody, some of you may remember Snow Crash, where Library of Congress merged with CIA and citizens could do that stuff. That was a great book. But data capture, when you grab data, it needs to have attributes. It needs to know who you are and how trustworthy you are. It needs to know the source bias, all of that. It needs a geospatial reference. So we need to get down to data capture attributes so that any bit of data punched into a handheld phone, which ideally has a picture as well as a geospatial coordinate, is immediately XML, RSS, and whatever new stuff is coming down the road. So that it can all be merged and digested without being fat-fingered. We need data mining standards. We need analytic toolkits. If you're going to Google for something else other than collective intelligence, I recommend analytic tradecraft, in quotes. You'll find Jack Davis's memos on analytic tradecraft. We need to do defensive security and counterintelligence. I mean, we're having our lunch stolen every single day, and usually it's our allies that are stealing our lunch. Germany, Israel, France, and we're simply not willing to blow the whistle on that. We're lazy about defending our own interests. Overaction. We could do much, much more in the way of organizing overt action overseas, as well as at home. By the way, I believe that America does need a domestic intelligence agency, but it needs to be one that relies only on open sources and methods, and that looks at major issues of domestic imports, such as Lake Powell going down 200 meters in the past few years. I mean, water is going to be a major American disaster area. Epidemics and plagues are going to be a major American disaster area. And the same bureaucracy that exists for the domestic side of the house, the CIA was created because the Foreign Affairs and National Security bureaucracy was ineffective at doing intelligence. The same is true domestically. And so I don't want a domestic intelligence agency for catching spies and traitors, although we need that too. But I want a domestic intelligence agency for actually helping us understand just how quickly our national cesspool is filling up. We have some real issues out there. And then finally, mindsets. If there's one thing I would change, it would be our mindsets. Washington is in a fool's paradise. It really doesn't understand. It is so obsessed with profiteering and being reelected and putting one over on the people that it's completely out of touch with reality. And unfortunately, the media are going along. You know, I've never been invited back to Fox News, fair and balanced Fox News, after I appeared one morning and said, there is no global war on terrorism. This was about 2 years ago. And they said, like, you're kidding. I mean, the president says this. Oh, excuse me, nothing's changed. There are no additional people working on it. As of 60 days ago, people, the CIA and NSA are still not delivering to the FBI the names of U.S. citizens known to be supporting terrorism when they come up in traffic. Because the worst lawyers in the world go into the intelligence community. And the lawyers that don't know say no. Okay? And so they basically cancel the needed information sharing opportunities that we have to have. Now, there are some obstacles. We have an educational system that focuses on rote learning. We have the manner in which elected officials are elected and compensated. We have the manner in which bureaucratic decisions are not subject to public review. And finally, this is the one you can take on, the inattentiveness of the public. These are the four obstacles to democratic reform in America. Now, I would be very glad if you all chose to come from 10 to 2 tomorrow night, or from, actually, the two lectures are from 10 to 11:30 tomorrow night, and then you can leave if you want. You can also skip the lectures entirely, just go to my website and type in lectures, or you can go to the OSIP portal page and look for lectures, and I recommend you do this with a high bandwidth line. But I've got about 15 lectures on intelligence and stuff that can help you. All right, in the 20 minutes that remain, roughly, I am at your service in terms of questions and answers. I really don't care what kind of question you want to ask. It doesn't have to do with this topic. Thank you for your attention. What can I tell you? Yes, sir. Potentials for what? He's asking about the potential for government abuse of an open source system. I was one of the guys with Lynn Schwartzow and Peter Black who basically revealed how to take down America in 24 hours back in the early 90s. And I took a lot of heat from the U.S. government for that. I said, bullshit. Don't you think other people already know this? The problem is our own citizens don't. The really cool thing about open sources is that it's subject to peer review. You know, if you look back at the Pentium chip and you look back at Cold Fusion, if those had been secret projects, they'd still be funded. You know, open source is open. I think the future is actually a triad: open spectrum, open source software, and open source intelligence. And so I also see there's going to be a booming business in anonymity and being able to, you should be worried the day they say they want to phase out cash. But I think on balance, open sources empower the public. If you look at how we're trying to go after terrorism today, it's like spitting spitballs. We have a box of straws, and we can only spit spitballs through those straws. And so we got maybe 2,000 people out all over the world spitting spitballs. Okay? Instead of having 2 billion people out there with their eyes and ears open, knowing what to look for and bring it back in. Let me give you another example. I was asked to review the Marine Corps counterterrorism plan, and what they did was triple the guards. I said, excuse me. What you really need to do is go out 50 kilometers from every base, and you need to brief every waitress and every truck driver and every person out there on what you're worried about. And if it's called profiling, I'm sorry. But, oh, by the way, there are guys that have married blonde, blue-eyed babes here in town, and they don't realize that they and their kids are basically cover for action when the guy does decide to blow himself up. So we have a whole bunch of issues that are way too complex for this. But the bottom line here is I was asked to take down the NATO headquarters and blow up the USS Roosevelt one day. And I went in, and on my way in, I looked at who saw me. And so a waitress on her cigarette break saw me take pictures of the aircraft carrier. But she was oblivious. She didn't know that was a threatening act. A rent-a-cop saw me filling my tank from a closed gas station right across from the headquarters. You know, and so what you need to do is you need to bring the citizens into this. And this is not these silly ideas of total awareness and all of this. This is about common sense of the crowd. But then when you call what I envision as a state and local intelligence center that is not focused on counterterrorism, it's focused on any problem, natural disaster, emerging plague. We're starting to predict plague outbreaks in illegal immigrant communities 4 days to 4 weeks in advance based on their over-the-counter purchases at grocery stores, which is where illegal immigrants buy medications. And based on the specific composition of the things that they're buying, we can pretty much narrow down what kind of plague is emerging in that illegal community. All right? There really is no end to the innovation and imagination of the public. And what we have failed to do is bring the public into this transition into the internet era on the intelligence side. So yes, it can be abused, but I think that for every abuse, you'll find 10 to 20. Yes, sir, in the white shirt. Right. I remember it very well, but their big, fat, ugly, stupid mouths were right on target. I mean, they should have paid for that bullshit. I mean, what they said, I think, was actionable. You know, my son, Matthew, embarrassed me a few weeks ago. He was having a fight with another kid, and he said something within hearing of the cafeteria monitor, which is what FBI guys do before they graduate. Okay? And he said, I hate this kid, and so I'm going to my happy place and envision blowing his legs off with a shotgun. Ouch! Okay, he was suspended, and rightly so. That was just a flat-out stupid thing to say. And I think he understands now that words have meaning, particularly in this networked environment. We have to be serious people. You know, there's still the New Yorker cartoon where the guy says, hi, Jack, and is immediately arrested. Now that's a misunderstanding, okay? The bottom line here is that in an age of distributed terror where weapons of mass destruction and anthrax and stuff and all these other things are available, I mean, 50 caliber bullets, which are still legally available in the United States, you fire those into a power generator, it's history. Okay, we only have two spares. So I think people have to be accountable for their words. Now, I don't think the FBI is able to provide the security that we need. I think you need state and local, because one of the big problems we have is people will come to the FBI and they'll blow them off. There were two separate walk-ins to the FBI, one in Orlando, one in Newark, one several weeks prior to 9/11, one a year prior to 9/11. They said, hey, this 9/11 thing is coming, and there are these terrorists, and the FBI checked the terrorist names and the thing, and they were completely clean, because they were like brand new terrorists, okay? The FBI's mindset was such that it threw both of these people out. This has all been covered in the media. It's on my website. They basically said, well, you know, if we haven't heard of these guys, you're not serious. Okay? This is the problem we have with the bureaucratic mindset. Another question, and then perhaps we'll stop and I'll go offline. Both of you. I'll take each of you. In the back first, and then you, ma'am, is the last word. Go ahead. The wonderful question, what do I recommend for young people who want to get into these issues? Well, the first thing is that if you do ever want to have a clearance, it's okay to be homosexual as long as it's declared. It's still not okay to do drugs in quantity. more than one. You want to be lifestyle conscious if you ever want to have clearances, okay? Absolutely. You can be stupid and be president. The second thing, and by the way, I think a life in the clearance world is really cool. I mean, I would recommend to anybody that's interested to consider joining the military with a guaranteed military intelligence option and then use that as a path to working in national intelligence. FBI is hiring right now because more analysts are quitting every month than they can hire. This has been going on for the last several years. Their management is so abysmal that you've got a very good chance of getting in, just because they're pissing everybody off and they're all quitting. The contractors are hiring. You can go to www.intelligencecareers.com. Great place to look. It's also on my website as a button. It's run by someone else. But last but not least, I would say, pick whatever it is that gives you joy and then apply intelligence to it. And I'm not being slick here. I look at advertising and I wonder what kind of morons put this stuff together. You know, I look at books written by academics and I wonder what kind of moron threw this trash together. We have sunk to new lows in America. So I would say to you, study analytic tradecraft, study the process of intelligence. Intelligence is about decision support. It's about being smart in a structured way. It goes way beyond academic hypotheses and research. Let me come down to the real clear difference between intelligence and research. Research is for lots of people, intelligence is for one person. Which is to say, if you're doing a research project that's going to be broadcast or sold many times, or a newspaper, or whatever, that's research. If you are setting forth to answer a really important question upon which money or morals or time or lives depend, and you have as your client for the answer one decision maker or one decision making committee, then that's intelligence. I answer all my emails, Bear, B-E-A-R, at OSS.net. Please do not spam me. We're dealing with 35,000 spams a day right now. Someone in Europe took it personally when I was critical of the European intelligence community as well as our own. So don't spam me. Don't waste my time. But if you have a serious question, I will answer it. It's a privilege to be here. You guys ignored me in 1994 when not you new guys, but the old guys ignored me in 1994 when I said I thought there ought to be a hacker's critical infrastructure protection site in which you posted all of the deficiencies as you found them. I think it would have dramatically accelerated our cleaning up this monstrosity we call our national critical infrastructure network. Last thought, if anyone wants to spend some time thinking about how to take down New York City between now and tomorrow night, I would be very glad to end with a panel where, you know, we have the guys that take down the water system and the guys that take down the firefighting system and the guys that take down the health system and so forth. So if any of you want to give that some thought, come see me. I think it'd be a nice media event. Okay? Because I will end with one fundamental premise. You cannot protect America through secrecy. You have to protect America through the common sense of the public, and that starts with understanding the threat out in the open. Thank you for your time and attention. If any of you want to visit with Robert later in the day, you'll be at Guantanamo. Okay.